Welcome to East Lake Church, Mexico. My name is Pastor Fito Gonzalez. If you missed the first few weeks of this series, we went through the book of Nehemiah and it was amazing. I got pumped up and I got ready for a fight. Woo! Week one, we talked about being woke to the needs around us and challenge us to wake up, pray up, speak up, and get up. Sounds like a rap song, right? Week two, we asked, what needs do you see in front of your house so we can get up, get together, and get going? Sounds like another rap song. I could have been a rap star. Yeah. Week three, we talked about overcoming opposition, and we learned that anytime you're moving forward in your faith and trying to accomplish something with God, there will be a battle. The enemy of your soul doesn't want you growing in your faith. He doesn't want you reading the scripture. He doesn't want you to have a great marriage. He doesn't want you to succeed in life. He wants you to fail. He wants you to lose. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to quit. We learned that Jesus people build and battle at the same time, because when you're moving forward, there will always be opposition against us, against our family, against our kids, against our church, or against our Jesus mission. But we don't stop. We don't get distracted. We keep building and battling. We keep working. We keep worshiping. We keep moving forward. Build and battle. Build and battle. Build and battle. Let's get ready for a fight. Let's get ready to rumble. Loved it so much that I feel like preaching it again. After that, we even talk about politics. Kingdom values is what matters. Today, we begin a three weeks of prayer. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Praying is something we can all do. Every single one of us, Abby, Victor, Tony, Marco, Rudy, Oliver, JP, Cindy, Lorraine, everyone. But can everyone teach? No. Can everyone sing? No. Can everyone play an instrument? No. But can we all pray? Yes. The last thing prayer should be is intimidating. Yet I remember as a young Christian, I was not only intimidated to pray in front of others, I was intimidated to pray alone. In a book called The Power of Prayer says this, let's read it. Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing something new, some new beauty. I had to get rid of the thought that praying was some kind of formula, or it had to contain certain words or sound spiritual. Should have bought a Honda. Bought a Toyota. Anyways, look at what it says, what Jesus says to his followers in Matthew 6:7 says this. When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases. Praying like those who don't know God, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. Let me ask you this question. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. That's it. Keeping it real is all that's required to pray effectively. Let him into your heart. Talk to him from the heart. The disciples of Jesus watched him do many things over the course of 3 years. And I think about all the things the disciples didn't ask Jesus to teach them. They didn't ask him how to multiply food. They didn't ask him how to walk on water. They didn't ask how to heal the people, but they did ask him, will you teach us to pray? They knew that prayer, his connection with the Father, was essential to live the life he lived and do the things he did. Prayer was and is the source. There is power in prayer. We will be looking at what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Or maybe you were raised knowing it as the Our Father. Look at what it says in Matthew 6:9. And 13 says this. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Today, we're going to focus on the first two verses of this prayer. And we're going to mention three purposes of prayer. Here's the first one. Prayer is meant to connect me with God's love. Let me say it again. Prayer is meant to connect me with God's love. Praying begins with the acknowledgement of who God is. He is our Heavenly Father. The Bible teaches us that we have been adopted into the family of God. We're all brothers and sisters, and we can cry out to God as our Abba. And Abba is an intimate translation of Father or Daddy or Papa. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus repeatedly is teaching us that God has a desire to connect with humanity in love and through love and for love. Jesus teaches that it was God's love that sent him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son because he wants to connect with us. God is always the first to love. He pursued and is still pursuing us. He wants to be with you. He looks for you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to walk with you. He sent his son to die on the cross so that he can be in eternity with you. But he also wants us to want to be with him. He also wants us to seek him. He also wants us to talk to him. He wants our hearts so bad that he sent his son to die on the cross. God is a father who cares, a father who is engaged, a father who is near, a father who is with us, a father who is approachable, a father who seeks us, a father who loves us and is in love with us. He is our daddy. He is our papa. I understand that not everyone was raised with a healthy image of who a father is. I know I wasn't. My father never even knew when I came home. My father was never near, so I thought that my father never cared. He didn't seek me. He didn't want to spend time with me. But be assured that God is able to re-image that for us. God is a father who cares, a father who is engaged, a father who is near, a father who is with us, a father who is approachable, a father who seeks us, a father who loves us and is in love with us. He will not hurt you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. For sure, he loves you. His presence goes before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. I love you, Abba. God promises to father you as only a heavenly father can, with perfect love. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. As you begin your prayer, you are reminding yourself, I am praying to the one who loves me unconditionally. I am praying to the one that longs to spend time with me no matter what I'm going through. I'm praying to the one who seeks me even when I fail. I'm praying to the one who wants me no matter what. I'm praying to the one who washes me when I get dirty, when I sometimes get dirty, and I do get dirty. I'm praying to the one who is with me when I'm afraid. I am praying to the one who hugs me and says, everything that the enemy meant for evil, I will turn it for good. I am praying to the one who knows everything about me and still loves me. He is perfect. He is God. He is my Abba. The second purpose in prayer we find in the first statement is this. Prayer is meant to point me to God's status. Prayer is meant to point me to God's status. Hallowed be your name. Our Father God is above everyone and everything. There is no one like him, and there is no other God. He stands alone as God. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Your name is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Woo! He is hallowed, set apart, holy, perfect, and all powerful. We can come to God in adoration and love as our Father and in humility and reverence as Almighty God. Sometimes our worship and adoration of God moves us to thankfulness and gratitude and love because he is so extremely for us. He is so extremely for you. Other times our worship and adoration moves us to pause for a moment and understanding who he is. He is the creator of the universe that through the power of his word, he created everything and he loves me and he loves you. Think about that. Think about that. The creator of the universe loves us. Wow. David, the author of Psalm, the ancient king of Israel, spoke of this in one of his Psalms, that he would enter into God's presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. You are reminding yourselves as you pray that this is my heavenly Father. And my heavenly Father is a big deal. He is holy and he is able. He's able to handle and care for what you're praying to him about. When we exalt God, it places our needs in perspective. He is above all else. Above my problems, above my needs, above my sin. Nothing is bigger than my Abba, my Daddy. The third purpose is this. Prayer is meant to awaken me to God's will. Prayer is meant to awaken me to God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And some of you may be thinking, this is beyond me. I don't know how to pray God's will. I'm still new to this God thing. But look at what Max Lucado said in the book. He still moves mountains. Look at what it says. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not on the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Your prayers make a difference. Oh, but let me mention this. And so does the lack of. Let me say this. God is not our genie in the bottle. God does not work for us. He is not contained by us. God has a will. He has a vision. He has a mission. And in prayer, we have a part of bringing that mission to pass. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When we look at the kingdom of this world, it is undeniably clear that we need the virtues of the kingdom of heaven to come. Virtues of righteousness, virtues of justice, virtues of equality, virtues of mercy, virtues of peace and honor and human dignity. And how does this happen? One way is through intercession, praying for others. praying for our leaders, praying for our city, praying for our state, praying for our country, praying for our world, praying for a spirit of humility and repentance, for us to shake off the arrogance and clothe ourselves in humility and surrender. And along with that, pray for yourselves to have these virtues. Look at what it says in Romans 14, 17. It says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Pray for those virtues. Pray for the kingdom to come to the people around us. Pray for the kingdom to come to your life. Pray for your spouse so they will not quit on Jesus or you. Pray for your family so it will not separate. Pray for the job that you desperately need. Pray for your family and friends and coworkers so they won't die without Jesus. Pray for your church to continue to make disciples. Pray for your pastor so they can continue to build and battle and be ready for a fight. Pray for so that the devil sets you free. Pray for you to overcome laziness. Pray to find your purpose. Pray for righteousness in your life. Pray for your children that they won't turn from the Lord. Pray for the chains to be broken in your life. Pray for provision. Pray for your future spouse. Pray to overcome temptation. Pray so that the people around you know the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Pray for the faith and confidence to go and get all that God has for you. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Pray for his kingdom to come on this earth and in our hearts. Let's pray. Let's pray. We've created a prayer app. An app that will help us pray for our city. It is awesome. Download it. Pray and walk. Walk and pray. Pray and walk. However you want to do it, whatever you need to do first. Let's make a difference. Let's be a difference maker in the Spirit. And pray for his will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Everything that happens here on earth is not God's will. The Bible clearly tells us that there is another power at work in this world. The enemy of our soul is here to steal, kill, and destroy. To destroy people, to destroy hope, to destroy purpose, to destroy dreams, to destroy family, to destroy your marriage, to destroy all that God wants done on this earth. The enemy of our soul wants corruption. The enemy of our soul wants abortion. He wants death, wants war, wants division, wants hate, wants lying, wants cheating, wants stealing. He doesn't want you growing in your faith. He doesn't want you reading the scripture. He doesn't want you to have a great marriage. He doesn't want you to succeed in life. He wants you to fail. He wants you to lose. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to quit. God sent his son, Jesus, to give us life and life in all of its fullness, to give you hope, to give you a new identity, to give you a purpose, to give you eternity. It is finished. It is ours. Receive it. Take it. It's yours if you want it. Let me say this. No matter what happens in this life, what we have suffered or are suffering, know this. God is looking to meet you there and lead you forward. God's will is always looking to break into the here and now, to invade your present and to reclaim what the enemy meant for evil and to restore it. Pray for his will to be done in your life. Pray for his will to be done in your spouse. Pray for his will to be done in your family. Pray for his will to be done on this earth at this time. I pray for his will to be done in my wife's life. I pray for his will to be done in my children's decision. I pray for his will to be done in this church. I pray that for his will to be done in this world that I live in. God's will is always the very best choice for me. N.T. Wright says this on this topic. He says this: we are praying for the redemption of this world, for the radical defeat and uprooting of evil, and for heaven and earth to be married at last, for God to be all and in all. And if we pray this way, we must be prepared to live this way. We can only pray this prayer for the church if we are prepared to mean, make us kingdom bearers. Wow. We are invited not just simply to ask God to move, but to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever we might be. That we would be prepared to make a difference. This is the bottom line for today. Prayer invites us to participate in the movement of God. I want to encourage you that over the next 3 weeks, if you're not already in the habit of doing this, to set aside some time with God in prayer, even if it's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Spend some time with him. He is waiting for you. The creator of the universe is waiting to spend time with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Thank you for pursuing us no matter what. Holy Spirit, thank you for prompting us to seek our Abba. In Jesus' name, amen.